Hi, this is Dave. Welcome to A New Life Show. Today we're going to do an episode diving deep into Tesla's new vehicle to grid technology. Now, these are rumored plans, but I think this is going to be at the crux and at the core of Tesla's battery day upcoming. So in today's episode, we look forward to doing a deep dive, and we'll have a great time with you guys. Hold on. All right, so Tesla's secret vehicle to grid plan. If you can hear this in the live stream, if you can give me a thumbs up, I'd appreciate it. Also, feel free to join in the live chat. We've got some great discussion going on. At the end of this, I'll go ahead and answer some viewer questions from the chat. All right, so we've got some rumored plans for Tesla to release a vehicle to grid kind of technology at their upcoming battery day. And we're gonna take a look at what this means. So what is vehicle to grid? Well, vehicle-to-grid is a technology that enables energy to be pushed to the electric grid from the battery of an electric vehicle, all right? So you've got this car here, right? And it's hooked up to the house, and it's hooked up, I guess, through the transmission lines, and it goes back into the grid, right? And so that's the crux of vehicle-to-grid technology. All right, we've heard about this being talked about for a long time, and J.B. Straubel, the co-founder of Tesla, and Elon Musk has kind of downplayed it over time. So why is this such a big deal? All right, so to understand vehicle-to-grid technology, you have to understand that an electric vehicle is run through direct current, but the house is run through alternating current. So it needs to transfer the current, right, from AC to DC. And that's what the car uses. And then for the car to connect to the grid, it needs to transfer the current back to alternating current. Now, in order to do that, you kind of need this middle piece. And usually that's an inverter, right, that can convert AC to DC and probably DC to AC. Now, what we found out, actually, Elon Musk, a couple years ago, July 4th, 2018, was saying that regarding vehicle to grid, they've had the ability to use the car as a battery outputting power. And he was thinking of revisiting this. Now, this is actually about 2 years ago. He's talking about this. So Tesla and Elon Musk are very aware, right, of the power of the car to be used as a battery and output that, right, to the grid. Recently on electric, we found out that there was a electrical engineer who was working for, I think, GM or Ford, and he did a teardown of the Model 3, and it was most likely in about mid-2018 or so. That's according to the documents. And from this story, we learned that this engineer reverse-engineered the Model 3 charger and found out that the charger was actually fully bidirectional. This means the power can be converted from AC to DC and also can flow in the reverse direction, right, coming from the battery and ending up on the DC side. So this is known as the DC to AC inverter. And when this technology is present in a vehicle, it is known as V2G, or vehicle to grid. So according to this engineer who reverse engineered the Model 3 charger, it already is vehicle to grid capable, right? It already has the inverter that can change the DC to the AC, right, alternating current, and connect into the house, into the grid. All right, so now this gets kind of interesting. So there's a question here. In order for Tesla to release vehicle to grid, like, what else do they need, right, for their vehicles? Do they need another inverter or not? And this is kind of getting a little tricky. There's a kind of a hacker, Green the Only, who gets into the software of Tesla. Many of you guys might have known him or know him on Twitter. And he says there's logic already to allow DC to flow out of the battery pack. So you can supply an external grid tie inverter with that and let it do the rest of the magic. Making it part of the high power wall charger would make a lot of sense in my view, but I'm not an electrical engineer. All right, so he speculates, he's saying, well, there's already software that enables, right, the DC current to flow out of the battery. And so he's thinking, oh, maybe we need another inverter. But then according to this other article in Electric, he's saying that there's actually already an inverter in the Model 3, right, that converts DC to AC. So maybe an inverter is not needed. But what we do need is we need to connect to the grid. We need some type of device that will allow the energy to flow into the grid. All right, so here's a quick recap of what's going on here. The Model 3 can likely output AC, or alternating current, and is ready for V2G, right? So this is kind of interesting news already that we have. Next, in order to do V2G, I think we need a grid tie controller. We need something to connect between the car into the grid that allows the grid to accept, right, the energy coming from the car. Like all solar panels and systems have some type of grid tie controller, and the utilities need to come on and kind of activate all that stuff. All right, and lastly, I think we need, in order to get V2G working, I think we need a Wi-Fi connection and a computer, or when I talk about computer, I'm talking about mini computers, right? We're talking about like mini devices. They don't have to cost more than 10 or 20 bucks that will communicate with AutoBidder, right? So Tesla has this software that is able to kind of control a distributed system of Powerwalls and V2G or vehicles. And through this software system, they need to be able to communicate, right, with basically the cars and the chargers as well. And so I think they can communicate with the cars, but I think it needs to be more reliable, in my opinion. I think you need a constant, probably Wi-Fi connection at your home with this kind of charger. So I think Tesla does release a new charging device, and it's a wall charger, and that's my opinion. And in this wall charger, it actually has the Wi-Fi connection. It has the computer to communicate with AutoBidder, and it also possibly has some type of grid tie controller as well. So it's an all-in-one device, and it's a charging device. All right. Why would you want vehicle to grid? So that is the question, right? So what kind of benefit as a Tesla owner would I get? And I think this is probably the wrong question to start with, right? Rather than why you would want vehicle to grid, we have to ask, like, who really wants it? And the question is, why would utility companies want vehicle to grid? And to dive into this, I think gives us a better, clearer understanding of what's going on. All right, first, electricity load. We have to understand why this fluctuates throughout the day, because this is one of the challenges that electric companies are going through. To understand just how demand and load can fluctuate, think about how your family uses electricity at home. You use less power when you're asleep or away at work or school, and you use more when you're awake and doing things around the house. If you were to chart this usage hour by hour, you could almost tell the time of day and the season of the year by it. The same thing occurs throughout the whole system. Then as you consider considerable needs of businesses and industries with their machinery and large spaces that need heating and cooling, the impact of the load is even greater. Okay, so throughout the day, we have a different type of load going on. And generally speaking, right, during the nighttime, the load is very low. And then during the daytime, it goes high, but then actually it peaks after people come back from work, right? About 5 or 6 p.m., I think, usually, and people turn on the air conditioning. This is more like summer months, right? And then it starts to go down. I don't have space here, but it goes down, right, throughout the evening. And so this peak kind of area is kind of the most challenging area for the electric companies to manage the load. All right, Germany is an example, and they have all these different types of power that goes into kind of water power, nuclear, coal, gas, top power. I'm assuming this is more peaker kind of power. And so they have different plants in different countries where they turn on the plants just to handle kind of like these massive kind of short-term fluctuating peaks. And they're very, very pricey to turn on. But that's the only alternative that these companies have to manage kind of peak loads. All right, electric vehicles could shave the peak, right? And this has kind of been touted as a huge potential for many, many years. And let's look into why this is. Electric cars could do far more. If connected to the grid in a way, allowing for their batteries to be tapped, the 1.5 million electric cars California expects by 2025 would have a maximum energy demand of about 7,000 megawatts, more than double the capacity needed to substantially smooth the current afternoon rise in peak energy demand. All right, so what this is saying is, it's saying that with 1.5 million cars in California, that's double the capacity to handle and to smooth the peak. And this is actually a huge issue and huge challenge that California is facing. So here we have kind of like the peak here. Here you have kind of like, I guess a little past 6 o'clock, and then the typical peak is here, but you can do peak reduction if you use the batteries of the electric vehicles, right, in the grid to push electricity into the grid at this time. And this value is a lot of money, right, for the electric grid, but also a lot of stability and a lot of added reliability for the consumer, a lot of benefits for a lot of parties. All right. Now, it's not just kind of managing peak loads. There's actually a whole host of different ways where grid, vehicle-to-grid and battery storage actually helps these utilities, right? And so there was a study that kind of showed the different value that these batteries can give the grid. And it noted that there's value in transmission capacity, distribution capacity, DA spin, DA and RT energy, DA regulation, and generation capacity. All right, so let's actually number this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So this next page will explain what's going on. So a study for the California market showed no fewer than 6 value streams for battery operators aiding the grid. The first 2 bars represent the value of additional capacity freed up on the transmission and distributed system by storing excess local energy. All right, so these first 2 spots, transmission and distribution capacity, that's the added value these companies get by not having to, you know, transmit and, you know, distribute the energy that is already kind of stored in these batteries. So it's just kind of opportunity cost. The third bar is the ability to provide reserve energy on a moment's notice. Okay, so this DA spin is kind of like this instant kind of, if there's fluctuations in the load, you can just support that and balance out the fluctuations through batteries. That's number 3. All right, the fourth represents the value of actually delivering that energy. And the fifth bar shows the value of helping regulate the grid's voltage and frequency to keep it stable. Okay, so this fifth thing is DA regulation. That's just to regulate the voltage and frequency of the grid, right, to make it more stable. That's what batteries can do, actually. And last, the final bar represents the reduced need for power generation capacity that can be supplied by storage, right? So here you have 6 different ways, actually, a vehicle to grid can actually help the utility companies. And so there's a lot of different value. In summary, here's the benefits that these utilities can get. It provides reserve energy on a moment's notice, right? So it brings stability to the grid. It can regulate the voltage and frequency, again, stabilizing grid. It reduces the need for power generation, right? And reduces actually the peak load in the energy kind of cycle. And overall, you're looking at a more reliable grid at a lower cost, right? And so this is immensely valuable to the utility companies and to the end consumer as well. All right, so what has prevented vehicle-to-grid technology until now? A few things. So I think there's 3 main problems, in my opinion. So a lot of this stuff I'm talking about is the process, meaning I'm still learning about all this stuff. And I'm just sharing with you guys as I'm learning and just kind of demonstrating kind of how I'm thinking and how I'm kind of outlining these ideas. So the first reason why I think V2G is hasn't happened until now is, first, it would require too many cyclings of the battery, and that would reduce the battery durability. For example, if a battery could cycle, let's say, 2,000 times, right, cycle, meaning charge and discharge 2,000 times, and if you had to do that like 300 times a year, right, to do V2G, then you would be looking at a battery life of about 5 or 6 years or something, maybe 6 years, and that would just not be acceptable. I think you need a cycling life of maybe at least 4,000, and that's, I'll talk about that in a second. Second problem is there's just not enough EVs with V2G technology, meaning you just don't have a lot of cars capable of doing this, so it's not going to make a dent, right, in the electric grid. And lastly, there's no software platform to coordinate a fleet of vehicle-to-grid vehicles to balance the grid, right? So you need actually an immense amount of complicated software to be able to pull all these resources from all these different cars and all these different locations and use that energy in the right way, right, to balance the grid and to reduce fluctuations. All right. So here's what's going on. And here's, I think, the crux of battery day, or one of the cruxes of battery day. Tesla has solved all of these problems with vehicle to grid. First is they've made a 1,000,000-mile battery through better chemistry, better architecture, all sorts of stuff that will allow the cycling needed to do vehicle to grid, at least 4,000 cycles, right? Next is they are manufacturing EVs at scale. They're the only manufacturer, I think, doing it at scale. And these EVs, right, are going to be V2Grid enabled. And lastly, Tesla has been working actually for many years on software called AutoBidder, and there's also an optimizing software and a utility software. There's a whole suite, actually, of software tools that Tesla has been developing over the years. And they will leverage all the software to use V2G, or the vehicle-to-grid technology, and combine all those resources to act as kind of like a virtual power plant that can supply energy to the grid. So all of this stuff, I think, is going to be outlined in Battery Day, and it's going to be a crux of it. So the predictions. Number one, at the upcoming Battery Day, Tesla announces vehicle-to-grid technology. And I think, and I hope that actually past cars, starting with the Model 3 back in 2018, already has that technology, at least the inverter, right? And then you'll need an additional kind of probably wall charger or grid-tie connector. Next, Tesla releases the grid-tie device that communicates with the grid and Tesla AutoBidder. So this is an additional device. And I think this grid-tie device could actually be the Snake Charger that we've all heard about a long time ago and watched. This was back in like 2014 or something, or 15. Elon demonstrated the Snake Charger. I think it was at the Model SD event. I remember I was actually there at the event, and he showed it on screen, on the video screen, a Snake Charger. And I think a Snake Charger makes sense because when you're doing grid to vehicle to grid, you need your car charged in like practically all the time that you're not using the car. But to do so, that's an added inconvenience, right? I only charge my car when I need to charge my car. But to be able to have to do it every time I go in and out, I think a Snake Charger could be the perfect device. Add it together with the grid controller and the Wi-Fi connecting, all that stuff. Make it the ultimate V2G, right? Final piece. And you've got, right, the whole thing put together. Lastly, I think Elon will announce that Tesla owners will be getting paid by the utilities as their vehicles are used as vehicle to grid or V2G. Right? This stuff is very valuable to the utilities. I mean, you're pulling energy, you're balancing the load, making it more reliable, making it more sustainable. California has had immense problems where, you know, they're having these rolling blackouts. The load on the California electric grid is just too high. It fluctuates at peak times, especially. All this stuff is going to be immensely, immensely crucial for these utilities, and they know it. And already, right, these utilities are paying people to like reduce their load, right? You can put a device on your air conditioning. The utility will come out and they'll pay you a couple $100 a year just so you could put a device on your air conditioning where the utility company can turn off your air conditioning at will when there's like too much, you know, a demand going on in the grid. So already they're paying out money for this. So there's some challenges ahead. Now, I think it's easy for people to be like rah-rah, like this is the final like thing, Tesla's going to the moon, it's gonna be $10,000 in 2 years, right, the stock. But I think we have to keep a balanced view, and we have to see the challenges ahead. First, working with utility companies to tie the vehicle-to-grid vehicles to the electric grid, right? So this isn't just an only Tesla, you know, thing where Tesla makes a car and sells it to the end consumer. Now, there's actually another player where the electric companies and the utility companies need to, you know, join in and help, right, connect these cars. I think it's to the best of their interest, but however, there's another party at hand, so there's added complexity. I think it's gonna be a complicated rollout. You have to install, right, these grid tie, you have to connect it to the grid. You probably need some permits, right, local permits. Everything's gonna change depending on region and country and all this stuff. And so if some people are saying, yeah, this thing is gonna be like millions of cars instantly, right, connected to the grid, I don't think that's the case. It's gonna be a complicated rollout. But the future is massive because this is opening up a whole nother product kind of category where Tesla is entering now kind of like not just battery storage, but is now entering kind of like a power plant, a virtual power plant role where it's supplementing and supporting, right, the grid and arbitraging, right, with all these batteries and giving the benefits to the customer, right, letting the customers be paid by the utilities. Now, what does this mean? It means that the Tesla cars in the future are going to be more attractive to people because it's not just a car to drive around, it's not just a car that drives you around, but now it's a car that can make you money, right, by connecting to the grid and supporting the grid. And all of this stuff is, I don't think it's going to add that much extra cost to Tesla because they already have the inverter there. They just need to add, you know, probably like a charger grid tie device, probably, you know, under $1,000 or so. They can pass that along to the customer and the customer gets the recurring kind of benefit from the utility companies. This is, a game changer in my opinion. All right, I think this whole thing actually is bigger than we realize. My next video, probably tomorrow or the next day, I'll talk about the software that's required on the back end to make all this happen. And I think that's kind of like a hidden piece. It's one of the most underappreciated part of Tesla's. They make not just the hardware, but they make the software. And they just don't make the car software and hardware, but they're making actually the software and the hardware for this vehicle-to-grid technology to happen. They're making the whole package, right? And this is kind of what happens when you get a company that's like the top of the top. You know, they're the innovators of the innovators. They're the company that's really pushing the lead. They're breaking through with new cell technologies. They're breaking through with like new software and how to, you know, connect to the grid. And they're bringing all of this together, right, to bring a complicated kind of solution, but make it simple to the end user, and end user benefits tremendously. So this is kind of like the power of Tesla going forward. All right, I'm gonna spend some time answering some viewer questions. If you have a question, please go ahead and you can put all caps, question, colon, and then I will go ahead and try to answer some of these questions here. If you haven't already, if you asked a question before, just go ahead and repost the question, and I'll go ahead and tackle as many as I can here. All right, Per Grana says, do you think the cost of Tesla Gateway, Snake Charger, wear on your battery and fees for connecting to your local utility would pay itself back in less than 10 years? Oh yeah, no, this is like serious stuff. And it all depends on the locality, right? The region that you're in and how distressed your utility is in your region. But in California, I mean, like they're paying a couple hundred bucks, I believe, a year, or it's over $100 a year, but just for the ability for them to turn off your air conditioning a few times a year. Right, that's how serious this like peak management really is. But it's not just peak management. You're not just allowing your utility to turn off your stuff right now. What V2G allows is you're allowing your vehicle to input into the grid, right? And not just like constantly like a solar panel, but whenever the grid needs it at the exact moment, right? So the exact kind of time the grid needs, you can pull together, right, thousands of Model 3s, right, in that region, maybe 10,000 of Model 3s, and input to the grid the power that the grid needs, right, to be reliable. I mean, this is a complete game changer. I mean, I don't know what the rough estimate is, how much you'll be paid by the utility, but in certain areas, like for example, California, I mean, especially with the rolling blackouts that are happening, like I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, you're getting paid up to $1,000 a year by the utilities. I would be surprised if it's under $500, because it's not just, you know, cutting usage, it's inputting usage, right? So my guess is 500 to 1,000. I doubt, you know, the charger and all this other stuff would cost more than $1,000. So probably a year max to your payout, I think will come. Great stuff. All right, Tomer says, maybe Tesla is only considering you power your own home like a big power wall. 100 kilowatt battery can power your own home for 3 to 5 days. Yeah, you know, that you could also power your own home. That's definitely a possibility. I was watching this video by Jeff Don, which is like one of the key researchers Tesla has. It was a video that was pulled a long time ago, but I managed to get the video. And he kind of makes the whole presentation saying that this million mile battery, the whole point of it is it actually allows vehicle to grid. Like that was the main kind of point of his presentation. And I think it's not coincidence. Like Tesla's been gearing this up for a long time. I don't think it's just to power your house. I think it's, they're gonna support the grid and people are gonna get paid, right? This is gonna be an income source for people. All right, Brad says, already the electric car will use power a lot. How is it possible to expect the majority of the customer to give power back to the grid? Yeah, again, this is how the cycling works throughout the day. During the nighttime, like let's say 12 midnight or 11 p.m. to like 6 or 7 a.m. in the morning, electricity, let's say in California, at least where I live, is extremely cheap. It's the cheapest, right, throughout the day. And then during the afternoon and evening times when people are home turning on their air conditionings, especially in summer, the peak rates just goes through the roof, right? So I mean, in comparison, I think it's like it goes from like 12 cents to like 35 cents, right? and per, I guess, what, watt hour, I guess. And that this stuff is like the vehicles can still charge during the nighttime, meaning right now there isn't a load problem for vehicles charging at nighttime. So all the vehicles can charge at night. The problem is during the day when everyone's using their air conditionings and everything. And that's when the electric cars can give back to the grid and stabilize the grid and really add value. Bentley says, what would be the market valuation should they be recognized as a power utility company? Yeah, this is hard because the utility or the storage is in the car, right? So it's kind of like, you know, Tesla doesn't really own the car. Like the car is being owned by the Tesla owner, and they're just kind of aggregating, right, all of the use, the rights to use that battery, right, and letting the utilities use that, but then give the benefits back to the owner, right? So it's hard to value Tesla as a utility company. A lot of this value, I think, goes into their cars and helps them sell more cars, helps the owners be more happy, get more income, reduce their electric bills because they're getting paid by the electric company, etc. Yeah. Question, why can't they do this with the Powerwall? Isn't it more fit for constant charges, discharges? Yeah, I think with the Powerwall also, I'm not too sure exactly on the mechanics, but I think also there's been a limitation with the Powerwall in terms of its cycling, right? They're just not wanting to cycle the Powerwall like every day, like meaning charge and discharge it completely. And I think because of that limitation, they've had to limit the applications of the Powerwall, right? In terms of like, you know, arbitrage and powering your house more. I mean, it could be used as a backup, but it's kind of a little bit clunky. So, I mean, clunky in the sense that you can't just switch back and forth that easily. And so I think when Tesla releases their million mile battery, they'll probably have a different version for Powerwall. It's like a million mile Powerwall battery, and they'll start to do more of this. And also, a car has a lot more storage, right? Kilowatt hours than, I think it's at least probably 5 or 6 times than a Powerwall. So there's a lot more you could do with a car. Oh, and why aren't they doing it with this Powerwall? They actually are doing this with the Powerwall. I'll share a bit more about a presentation Tesla engineers gave at a conference called InfoQ. But they've already done this with a group of Powerwalls where they're aggregating the Powerwalls and using it to balance and to help the load, right? And so this is stuff that actually Tesla is already doing. All right, so Schnick Snack says, do you think that full self-driving will get pushed by the tubes, tunnels, and Las Vegas? The route seems to be easy, in my opinion. Could that be the case, like in Vegas, be this first step for full self-driving? Yeah, so yeah, it's definitely gonna be, you know, full self-driving or, you know, the tunnels. And he's talking about the Boring Company tunnels, right, in Vegas that they're going through. Yeah, I mean, it's been amazing how Tesla has innovated, right? They first started with like these, like a carrier concept, right, where you kind of like your car goes onto something, and then they started with rails. The second iteration was rails, and the third iteration was like, forget it all, we'll just like have the car drive by itself, right? And I think that's the best iteration. It'll be complete, you know, just autopilot. It doesn't really need full self-driving because there's no like stoplights or turns. It's just easy navigate, you know, on autopilot basically. So that's, yeah, definitely gonna happen, I think, with the Boring Tunnels. All right, Ben Lee says, Trump has ordered TSMC to cut off chip orders from China, which has escalated the new heights of China-US trade war. Is there a potential threat for a US company, Tesla, in China? Yeah, I mean, this China thing is, China-US trade war, this is a big concern for the next 5 to 10 years. We're talking about major implications. Trade wars have historically been, you know, very heated. A lot of times they end in war. I don't want to minimize this risk at all. I think, though, in the bigger picture, Tesla is probably one of the companies that is more insulated from this trade war just because they have like a local factory there. I think it benefits the local economy there. And also, I think the companies that I think are the most vulnerable are those that really rely on China, but China doesn't like care about them or rely on or even think about them, right? They're just like, you know, minor companies, and US doesn't care about them, right? They're just like companies that really can be impacted harshly by this escalating China war. All right, eBay Pick says, have you considered inviting Kathy Woods of ARK, major long-term investor and fanboy? Yeah, I'd love to interview Kathy Wood or anyone from their ARK Invest team. If any of them are watching, please, yeah, I'd love to interview. Just reach out to me and I'll put you on. And if anyone knows them, reach out to them and we'll put them on. Joel Sapp says, Dave, don't forget that utilities could delay charging people as well. Yeah, so it could be something where, I guess, if I understand your question correctly, the utilities, rather than paying, they could just reduce your bill, right? Meaning instead of paying $200 a month, you get a reduction and you only pay like $100 a month. It depends on how valuable, right, the V2G charging is for the utilities in your region. All right. Gift something, man. I can't pronounce that. I won't even try. Is that something that other EV car companies wouldn't be able to feature in their cars? Could this be a patent to protect such things? Love from Israel. Hey, yeah, I love Israel. In terms of, I've been there before. It's a great, great country, lots of history. So yeah, can other companies, actually I have to qualify that. You know, there's so much controversy with politics. Anyways, yeah, I try to stay out of some of the stuff. But anyways, why can't other car companies do this? Well, you have to have a lot of pieces in the picture. You need the car, you need the software in the car, you need the right charging, you need also the right cells, right? The right batteries, the right chemistry to do the massive cycling. And then you need kind of the massive software, right, that will connect all of these thousands and thousands of, you know, vehicles together to basically be useful to the utility company. And so this, there are so many moving parts, and I don't see how these companies that are, like, for example, three or four companies working together, like, how are they going to move even half the speed that Tesla moves, you know? That's the advantage of Tesla. They're one company, right? They just work together, right? The speed is just, like, so much faster. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it takes, like, 10 years for other companies really to come up with a comparable solution. All right, Shivang says, do you believe the solar roof is an undervalued product of Tesla? Yeah, definitely long term, I do. I mean, solar roof, I think it's a genius move. It's just, I've always said that it's going to be slower rollout than people expect, just because of the complexity of the roof. But over time, as they get it cheaper and cheaper, more reliable, more connected, right, it's just an integrated thing. Connect that, right, to your Tesla car with V2G, your house is set, right, your vehicle, your electric bill is like nothing. It's like a great value proposition. All right, Blake says, won't this cannibalize their Powerwall business? It could. It also, like, you know, if you think about it, Powerwall could just go down in cost over time so much where it's just become something like just an additional kind of battery storage. Like, if you don't have your car at home, it could do the same kind of functions possibly as kind of like, you know, V2G would do, maybe reduce your bill as well. It could be, you know, extra battery backup. Yeah, right now Powerwall is like a little pricey just because, you know, there's installation, it's kind of complex, but I'd imagine that to come down a lot. Question, who will make these inverters? Tesla makes all this stuff because they already have making inverters for their cars, right? It goes from AC to DC, and then they could go, right, DC to AC, which supposedly they already have. So Tesla does most of their stuff in-house. At least that's my understanding. All right, Kevin Nui says, wouldn't it make more sense to start with solar panels plus the million mile battery? Yeah, I mean, well, I'm not sure. Solar panels are kind of a problem to the utility companies in a way, because solar panels, like, the utility companies just have to buy that power, and it's like kind of constant through the day, and it doesn't really like do the same thing that energy storage would do to help fluctuate, right, the demand and frequency. And so storage, I think, is one of the things that the utility companies are most interested. All right, Josh says, can degraded batteries be rejuvenated after being removed, replaced from a car? Is there a profitable angle that Tesla can take on the flood of old batteries in 20 plus years? Yeah, so JB Straubel, co-founder of Tesla, he started Redwood Materials. It's a battery recycling company, and that's what they're working on. They're going to work with Tesla to recycle these batteries. I don't think they're going to be rejuvenated. They're just going to be taken apart for the raw materials, stuck back into the factory and made new, right? If they're still great batteries, they could probably still be used in like some stationary storage stuff too. All right, Mark says, how will Tesla make utilities invest in V2G and VPP? Yeah, they don't have to make the utilities invest. This is different. This is a different thing than, like, you know, supporting Tesla solar panels, like, you know, inputting the grid. Energy storage And these batteries, they are crucial to these utilities, and the utilities know it, right? They're paying millions and millions of dollars to build, right, these battery factories. That's what Tesla is doing around the world. And what Tesla is giving is saying, hey, you don't have to spend the $50 or $100 or $200 million buying or building a huge battery energy storage facility. We'll give it to you for free. It's already made, right? Look at, we have 10,000 Model 3s in your area. This is your plant. This is your energy storage plant. And you can access it whenever you need to, just like you would access, right, a $100 million energy storage, you know, facility. You could use it to reduce the load peak, right, during the day. You could reduce the fluctuation, the frequency and voltage, or manage that during the day. You could make your grid more reliable. There's lots of things. And Tesla's offering it for free. Like, they're, like, it's not a question of making them doing it. It's the utilities already want to do it, right? Because the other option is they spend hundreds of millions of dollars to do it, right? So this is just like a cheaper way for them to do what they already need to do. All right, do you think the wall connector Gen 3 with Wi-Fi will support V2G already? Yeah, actually, I'm not sure, you know? Yeah, it possibly, but I kind of think, you know, yeah, you could. I mean, the Tesla probably would have a snake connector. I mean, I've been talking about snake connector for a long time. I think it's gonna be sweet, but I would like to have Tesla have a snake connector, you know, grid tie controller, Wi-Fi, whatever, but also a non-snake version too. I guess it's up to you which one you want to do. I'm not sure about, you know, the current, you know, wall connector. All right, Josh Guzman says, what equipment do you use for audio and video recordings on your channel? Have you thought about becoming an affiliate for the equipment you regularly use? Yeah, no. This is a Shure SM7B mic. I just got it. It's hooked up to, I'll show you guys right here. It's hooked up to something called a cloud lifter and then a Focusrite Solo. It's just kind of a booster, and it connects it to my USB on my computer. That's the audio. Very simple. My video is a Canon M50, a cheap camera, but a decent lens. I got this. It's about a $450 lens. It's like a 18 millimeter or something, but it does decent, you know, blur in the background. I have a decent light. It's called Aperture 120D light. And then I hook this up to my computer, and I hook up my iPad to my computer, and the software is called Ecamm Live, and it's like, it's so-so. It's not the greatest software, but it does the job, you know. And I'm able to put in the comments, do my iPad, and at least do some stuff. It's Mac only though. All right, Art Time says, don't you think that if you have a solar system that is grid tied, you already have essentially all the hardware you need? You're already feeding solar DC energy to the grid via your inverter. Yeah, you have an inverter, you're grid tied, right, all that stuff, but it's not as useful. It's not very useful to the utility companies. Utility companies want batteries, right? Batteries can go up and down. They can, like, they can be used just at the right peak time. And just load balance the whole grid. Batteries are where it's at. And so, yeah, you can probably add it on and it'll probably be cheaper. Question, won't Tesla take a cut out of the sales back to the utility? Yeah, that's a good question. Like, will Tesla, like, you know, be the middleman? And, you know, yeah, they might be the middleman. They might take a cut, some percentage or something. But who knows, they might just let the consumer take most of it. All right, Joe, I currently pay 14 cents per kilowatt hour and 54 cents during the peak. So that's more than 3 times a jump, NorCal PG&E. Yeah, same here. Like, I'm at like 12 cents, I think, at night, and maybe like 40 cents during the peak or something. Yeah, it's ridiculous. And then they do all these rolling blackouts, right? Like, you don't even know if you're gonna have electricity in the summer at different times. All right, isn't V2G different, not much different than concept from home solar panels selling back to PG&E? Yeah, I said this again, solar panels are not very useful to utility company compared to energy storage, right? It's the on-demand, right? Evening out the fluctuations, right? Reducing the peak load, all this stuff is crucial. All right. Robert says, at the Cybertruck unveil, Elon mentioned that the Cybertruck will have an inverter to supply 120 to one and 240 volt. This means Tesla already has an inverter plan for the Cybertruck. Yeah, they probably already, you know, have this stuff. Who knows? I mean, as I shared that one article, I mean, it could be already in the Model 3, not just not activated. Jim Quick says, do you think there will be a V-shaped recovery? I'm guessing this is the economy. Yeah, I'm a skeptic, man. I think this recession is deep. And I think we're not going to see just a quick bounce. I think a lot of the jobs are going to be lost for quite a bit. That's just my take right now. It could change next week. Who knows? I might be more of an optimist. All right, Barry Sycamore says, how much hypothetically can a person make per day selling energy during peak and charging at night? If this trend grows, will there be a reduced profit from using this strategy? Yeah, definitely. I mean, if everyone is selling like energy at peak and, you know, charging at night or whatever, right, doing arbitrage, yeah, it could reduce, I guess, some profit. But, I mean, the energy needs are just growing over time, right? More people are coming. Let's say California, an example, right? This energy stuff is not like being solved that easily, and so I think it's a long-term problem. And yeah, these vehicles definitely can help. All right, Timothy says, wouldn't the utility pay for the VTG at your home or work? Yeah, that's another good question. These utilities are very, very, very motivated, meaning they probably would be willing to just fork over, right, the hardware costs, right, to install the grid tie, any, if there's an inverter needed, the connection, all that stuff, because they really, really want access to your big battery, right? Yeah, that's definitely a possibility for some utilities. I think it'll change depending on your region and the utility that you fall under. All right, Joe says, do you think older Model 3, all of the ones we own now, can get a million mile battery upgrade in 3 to 5 years from now? Yeah, I think it's possible, but in the past, Tesla hasn't been very keen to like really push battery upgrades. I mean, they kind of like been pushing just upgrade your car, you know? But who knows, maybe that will change as batteries get cheaper and it makes more sense. Barry says, are Powerwall is actually a good buy at the moment? Yeah, I don't know, man. I kind of want to wait after battery day just to see what kind of stuff they have, you know, under up their sleeves. All right, Peter L says, can you do a video on what businesses are in the Tesla Corporation? As a Tesla shareholder, I wonder if I own the Boring Company, SpaceX, etc. Yeah, you don't own any of like Elon's other ventures. So Tesla does not own any Boring Company, any SpaceX, any Neuralink. Tesla just owns Tesla. And under Tesla, you have the cars, you have the solar panel, solar roof, Tesla Energy, right? And you have autonomy, which is, you know, AI driving, self-driving as well. Kala says, in your opinion, can Nikola be a competition one day to Tesla? Nikola, man, dude, the more I think about Nikola Motors, the more I realize I don't think you can even put them in the same sentence as Tesla in terms of competitors. Nikola needs to make a product and sell it. You know, they need to put something out on the market for anyone to take them seriously. All right, Graham says, this only applies to the new 1 million mile battery installed in new Teslas. Yeah, you know, if you don't have the million mile battery, forget vehicle to grid because it's just too many charge cycles, right? Your battery just can't handle it, and Tesla wants to help you out. They want to protect your battery. All right, Jose says, will you ever make a viewer's Q&A video? I think that would be valuable content. Are you talking about just a Q&A video, no presentation in the beginning? Let me know. I'll think about it. All right, Jan FM says, I actually think with the V2G and a Tesla at home, the solar system actually reaches its true value. In Germany, you pay 3 cents per kilowatt hour and you get 1.1 producing and selling to the grid. Lost in the Curve says, who pays for all the electrical work at your house to connect all that stuff? Consumers in mass will not do it, in my opinion. Yeah, but then if you think about it, who pays for the charging, the home charging station, right? The customer does it, so they're doing it already. Utilities can get involved. Maybe they could, you know, subsidize it. I've seen this happen. You know, utilities are really, really motivated with this. Kev says, can you do V2G and robotaxi? Well, robotaxi, the problem is you're on the road most of the time. So to do V2G, you kind of need to be like plugged in most of the time. But robotaxi, I get, well, no, because when you're plugged in with robotaxi, you want just your full charge and you want to leave. So yeah, I don't think robotaxi is going to work with V2G that well. All right, Barathas, wouldn't it be better to have a thin solar panel in the Tesla car top so that it continuously power the battery that can be done during the all throughout the day? Yeah, I mean you could, but like if you do the math, like for example, I'm trying to get solar panels on my RV, and my RV, like you know, it's a 25-foot RV, so it's pretty big, but it's got stuff up there, so I could fit like maybe 500 watts, right, of solar panels, and that could charge like maybe like, I don't know, 2 kilowatt, 3 kilowatt hours like per day, maybe a little bit more. I don't know. That's what the installer is telling me. But your Tesla car, right, has like a what, 50 kilowatt, if not 75 kilowatt hour battery. So like you need a lot of solar panels to charge your battery. Like you need like more than your car can handle. Like you need like, you know, as much basically as a house can handle. So any solar panels on a Tesla car is just like kind of, it's just like a dessert. It's just like sugar on the top. Doesn't really do much. What I'm excited about is I'm excited about a Tesla RV or a trailer, like an Airstream competitor, where the top of the RV folds out like on both sides and has this massive solar panel array that's j and acts as an awning, right? To give you shade as well. And that type of solar panel, man, like system to charge up your Tesla RV, like that's what I'm looking for. All right, Bill Hollis says, will Tesla allow upgrade to the million mile battery and any idea of the cost? Yeah, I don't think it makes sense for Tesla to allow an upgrade, especially the first year or two, because they're limited with the number of batteries. They want them to go into new cars because that's where they make the most margin. So it doesn't make sense to kind of give them cheap or not make as much margin, and then they can't make another car, right? A new car. So if there's going to be upgrades, I think it's going to be quite a while before they offer an upgrade. All right, DJ KL says, how much money do you have? Yeah, that's something that, yeah, you know, it's like some YouTubers are not bashful about sharing their assets and money. Like for me, if I was alone, I might, but my wife is kind of on the reserve side. She's on the shy side, so yeah, I probably won't be able to share stuff like that. All right, guys, this is already about 50 minutes. I'm gonna end this live stream right now, but I want to thank you guys for joining the live stream. I'm having a lot of fun on this stuff. I feel like it's great. I'm learning stuff from your questions and also having to kind of research stuff and dive deeper. I hope this has been helpful. The whole point is I'm trying to help people kind of process information, kind of show a thinking process, a thought process, because a lot of times when we look at news, we look at information. I feel like the tendency is just to look at it emotionally, like, oh yeah, this is fantastic, but without thinking the implications, or we just disregard it because we don't understand it. And I feel like it's a process and it's a habit to just be able to dive deeply into something, think about something from different angles, look at the implications, look at it objectively, and to really, you know, think like this through our investments, but also other decisions in our life. If you haven't subscribed already, please subscribe, help out the channel. Also, this is the time to like the like button, right? If you've managed to watch this video all the way to this point, which is 50-minute point almost, I think it's the right time to smash the like button. It's going to help the YouTube algorithms get the word out to help more people watch this channel, this video, and that's all I ask. All right, guys, have a great day, and we'll see you in my next video. Thanks.